Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
It is the Herd, Nick Wright in for Colin Cowherd. Mondays at 1 o'clock Eastern, Colin usually does where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong. Joy, I'm struggling this afternoon, this morning out west, to find the where Nick was right pieces of this. I feel like it's just going to be a where Nick was wrong when it comes to this Super Bowl. Can you got any life wraps for me? Anything I can latch on to?
You know, I came here today prepared to offer you some emotional support. So what I can say is that at the very least, you lost to the greatest team sport athlete. And I haven't 100% decided yet, but I'm leaning that way. So at least there's that. There is some valor in losing to the greatest to ever do it, right?
That doesn't help at all, Joy.
No?
You're right. You did come prepared. No, you did come. You should have come prepared, ready to help me. I called you yesterday.
I know.
And I told you, if the Chiefs lose, I was going to need your support, not only as a colleague, but as a friend. And you know when I knew, Joy, I might not be able to lean on you for that? I'm going to tell you the exact moment. Because you were on speakerphone, and I said, all right, Joy, I'll talk to you later. And you said, bye, Nick. And then you shouted, love you, Danielle, bye. I'm like, what the hell? She's saying love you to my wife. I just said goodbye. I got a very cursory bye, Nick, and then a shout to my wife. And I was like, I can't lean on Joy. I can't.
Listen, at this point, if you're not firmly in the know that I love Danielle more than you, I'm sorry. I don't know what else I have to do.
Okay.
You shouldn't take that as a knock. Danielle, your wife,
fair.
Is a spectacular human being who I adore. You are a friend. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you also dug yourself very firmly in this hole. And I will say, I have suffered at the hands of Tom Brady probably more than you over the past 20 years. Being a Dolphins fan and having grown up in Pittsburgh. So I've suffered a lot, and I chose to make a good life decision after he won against the Atlanta Falcons in the most spectacular fashion we've ever seen in a Super Bowl. I decided I was no longer going to live a life of saying that Tom Brady wasn't the greatest to ever play that position, because he clearly is. And even though I picked the Chiefs to win yesterday, I made that pick with no conviction. So I'm not suffering the way that you are. Well, I can relate to it, obviously, because I've been through it, but I'm not suffering the way that you are. Because I make better choices.
Well, I am going to... Sure. You make better... You know what I did after the Falcons Super Bowl? I also called him the greatest ever, and I said, it ends here. And how much better would all our lives be if he had just rode off in the sunset and retired right then and there? It would have been great. He'd added the 5 rings. It would have been fine. It had been over. But I will pay tribute to Tom Brady 2 minutes from now in a way that I don't think anyone quite has yet. But first, you mentioned, I dug myself deep. Let's just show the audience how deeply I dug myself. I posted yesterday my Super Bowl bets. Now, you can go through all these if you'd like. The moral of the story is this. There's 11 of them on there. That's 0 for 11, Joy. Do you know how hard it is to go 0 for 11? When you're budgeting out your gambling, you're like, all right, what's the worst case? 3 for 8, so that's like minus 5. 0 for 11 really puts you in a tough spot, including what I thought was the sharpest bet of the day. Look at that second to last one. Tommy Townsend over 38.5 yards for his shortest punt. The logic was the Chiefs aren't going to be punting inside the 40. They're going to be going for it or kicking field goals. So no problem. He's not going to have to do one of those corner kicks. No, he didn't have to do one of those. You know what he did do? Shank it right off his foot. Just dead shank right, then dead shank left. Two of his first 3 punts went under 30. Forget under 38.5. They went under 30. It was maybe the worst bet ever made. Sammy Watkins, first touchdown. Sammy Watkins, I bet it later, over 38.5 yards. It's not on the screen. He had one catch for 13 yards. But somehow, Joy, that wasn't my worst tweet. You want to see my worst tweet?
The worst?
I'm going to show you the worst tweet. No.
Oh, yes, I did
this
see
is
this.
The worst tweet. Yeah. Tweet. Yeah. What it says at the bottom is, out in a blizzard in New York City, shopping for a Chiefs red blazer. So what, do you know how many places I had to go to find a perfectly colored velvet Chiefs blazer in New York City?
I'm sure many, because that's a very specific color too. Like, Chiefs red is a very specific red.
It's a very specific red, and I needed it to be velvet, and I was, because I do everything last minute, I was shopping for it on a Sunday in a blizzard. I found it. I had it tailored in store, ready to wear. That will never be worn. I need to burn it. So that's where Nick was wrong. That plus all my Tom Brady takes. That's where Nick was wrong. So now, in order to, you're really enjoying this. This is not emotional support.
I'm trying.
This is nonverbal taunting.
Here's what it is.
You know what? I say this. Yeah.
I know that America wants you to take your medicine, but I also understand that no one, no matter what they say, predicted that they were going to lose in the fashion in which they lost. So to that level, I dismiss any take that anyone has. You can say that you picked the Bucks, and that's great. Good for you. But you did not predict that Patrick Mahomes was not going to score a touchdown, that it was going to go down the way that it did. So that I don't want to hear. So that's what I'm saying. I don't think that you should hang your head so low. Your Tom Brady takes I never agreed with, and you have to take your medicine for that. But the Chiefs' loss was so dramatic in fashion that I don't think you should actually feel that bad about it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. The problem is, while no one predicted the Chiefs to lose that way, the way that game went is exactly how I predicted, just 100% wrong. I did predict a blowout. I did predict one team to look awesome. I did predict one quarterback not to have any touchdowns, and I just had it all wrong, which is why I now pay my penance, do my rosary beads, by giving Tom Brady fans this, okay? I said a couple years ago that Tom Brady and Jerry Rice were the only two NFL players ever that if you bisected their career, if you cut it dead in the middle, they were a first ballot Hall of Famer on either career. That they had two separate Hall of Fame careers, the first half and the second half. After last night, I have to amend that take. Tom Brady becomes the first football player ever, and this one I'm confident he will be the only football player ever. He has had three distinct Hall of Fame careers, and I can prove it to you. He's played 21 years, cut his career into seven-year bites. First seven, middle seven, next seven. No funny math, don't have to do any twists and turns. Let's just look at it. So that first seven, let's call that the Aikman phase, where the numbers aren't overwhelming, but is the best clutch quarterback in the league, is not a game manager in a negative way, but the best version of a game manager. Tom Brady's for 7 years, almost the same amount of division titles, same number of Super Bowls, one more Super Bowl MVP, neither won a regular season MVP. So Tom Brady's for 7 years, first third of his career, that's the Troy Aikman phase. That, in and of itself, by itself, gets you into the Hall of Fame. Now give me the next 7 years. This is the Dan Marino phase. Division titles about the same. Super Bowl appearances, Brady has more. Regular season MVPs, Brady has more. Passing touchdown leader, Marino by one. Also, in this 7 year stretch, Brady had the 07 season, where not only are you undefeated and go 16-0 in the regular season, quarterback statistically speaking, it was up to that point in time the single greatest quarterbacking season ever. Whose record did he break? Marino's. The touchdown record, all the records he broke that year was Marino's. So those middle 7 years where he went to two Super Bowls but didn't win any, he accomplished in those 7 years, as far as the big shiny object accomplishments, what Marino did in his entire career. And now the truly unfathomable part, the final third of his career, the Joe Montana phase. From 2014 to now, four rings to four rings, three Super Bowl MVPs to three Super Bowl MVPs, Brady has one regular season MVP in this stretch. Montana had two. Montana also went to another team, just like Brady did. And Montana took that team, the Chiefs, to the AFC title game. Brady took his team to the damn Super Bowl and won the Super Bowl. Brady also, if we were to add another line, Super Bowl titles is 4 apiece to 4 apiece, but Super Bowl appearances would be 5 to 4, because in these 7 years, Brady went to another Super Bowl, the one against the Eagles, where he threw 505 yards and lost the game. So think about that for a moment. Tom Brady, first 7, middle 7, next 7. And if you saw me swallow hard, it's because I'm choking down the bile that I'm feeling just by having to say this. First 7, middle 7, next 7. Hall of Fame first ballot, Hall of Fame first ballot, Hall of Fame first ballot. The first 7 years, the Aikman phase. The middle 7 years, the Marino phase. The next 7 years, the Montana phase. That, my friends, we will never see again. It is not realistic, no matter how long the time horizon goes, that we will see another player in the first 7 years of his career win at the level Brady did. Now, Mahomes might, but it's all of that follows. Win at the level Brady did in the first 7. In the next 7, continue statistical and team excellence. Got to a couple Super Bowls, won a couple MVPs. They had a bye almost every single year. They were in the conference championship game 2 out of every 3 years. And then in the next 7, which means you got to play 21 years to even be in this conversation, you somehow do more winning in the final 7 than you did in your first 14 combined. And your first 14 combined, already we were talking about you as one of the 3 greatest quarterbacks ever. And you do it in a new system with a new team. That will never be done again. What Jerry Rice did, being able to have 20 years of sustained excellence where you could say he had 2 separate Hall of Fame careers, was unprecedented. Brady matched that. But for Brady to now have upped the ante to 3 separate Hall of Fame careers, and you could do a blind stat test of Troy Aikman's career against Tom's first 7 years, Dan Marino's career against Tom's middle 7 years, and Joe Montana's career against Tom's last 7 years, it is not to be believed. And that is what everyone must acknowledge. Everyone already acknowledges he's the greatest quarterback ever. I've acknowledged that for a long time. I just foolishly thought he was done. When he threw the pick 6 against Tennessee, I took my victory lap. See, I told you so. And then he shoved that victory lap, well, you know where. So, there it is, Tom Brady. I doff my proverbial cap to you. Some would say I doff my proverbial clown suit that I'm wearing to you. You got it done again. And you got it done under circumstances that I did not think were possible. Mark Schlereth tells us if this game had a turning point, what it was. And I'm sure he tells us all about that line play that was the story of the game. That's next on The Herd.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
It is Nick Wright in for Colin Cowherd on The Herd, and Tommy John's Valentine's Day do's and don'ts. Do look like a champion in new Tommy John underwear. Don't forget to get her buttery soft Tommy John long loungewear, pardon me, in pajamas. Get $20 off site-wide at TommyJohn.com/herd. See site for details. Now, I normally would say this next guest is one of my favorite people at the company, someone I consider a friend, someone that I think that all fathers and grandfathers can look to is how to treat their family and how to raise a family. But after our interaction during the break, I just think he's a bad guy. His name's Mark Schlereth. You see him all over FS1. And I think he's a certifiable bad guy because he just came on and started laughing at me and said, how you feel? And couldn't even get the sentence out before cackling in his palatial Denver estate. So how are you feeling, Stink?
I'm feeling great. There was 2 things I thought about during that game as it was winding down. One, did Bill Belichick watch this game, or was he like playing fetch with his dog? And 2, I need to text Nick Wright. Those were the 2 things I thought. And then I thought, you know, that's just me. that is just mean. So I'm not going to do that right now. But I did think about you yesterday.
That's great. I'm glad. I think a lot of America thought about me yesterday while they were laughing. And the members of America that weren't laughing at me, it's because they were texting me because I owed them money. So it's just great for everyone except me. All right. So I don't think anybody saw this coming. Even if you picked the Bucks, Joy said this earlier, she's right. Nobody saw this coming. So how did this happen?
Well, I think there's several things. Now, Tampa Bay, their defense is remarkable at all three levels. They've got great defensive players, great team speed. But I think ultimately the way this happened, this to me is a lot of football hubris. This to me is we can have multiple changes, three different guys up front on our offensive line change positions. We still think we can get five guys out at all times, block 5-0 protection, and we're going to be okay. And that's just not the case. I don't think Andy Reid did a good job of coaching. And I'm telling you, he's been phenomenal the last several years. But in this particular instance, in this particular game, Tampa Bay played a too high safety look the entirety of the game and basically begged you to run the ball. You gave your running back 9 carries. He averaged 7.1 yards per carry, and he only touched the ball 9 times. So that, to me, is not taking advantage of what the defense is giving you, and then ultimately not mitigating your own issues. Like, this to me is saying, we're going to win the way we win with our quarterback and get 5 guys out. And you didn't take into consideration that you've had massive changes along your line of scrimmage, and you did nothing to mitigate that potential disaster. You basically said, we're going to play it the way we play it. And you took, pressure from a 4-man front, disruption of routes, cover 2 man a bunch, or cover 2. There was always 2 safeties deep. This, to me, was a failure of coaching more than it was anything else.
There was some game plan arrogance there. That, you know, listen, I was arrogant going into the week. I thought, listen, guess what? You know how you stop the Chiefs? Nobody knows because nobody's done it. They score 30 points when they want to. They go on these basketball-style runs. And I thought, while it sounded bad for missing 4 starting offensive linemen, in my head, I'm like, well, 3 of those guys have been gone basically all year. So it's 1 offensive lineman that you're missing from last week when you dismantled the Bills and Eric Fisher. And I thought the Chiefs would be able to overcome in that regard. As an offensive lineman stink, one of the stats that jumped out at me, the Chiefs blocked with just 5 on 92% of dropbacks. Yeah. That means from start to finish, they were not helping their guys. How surprised were you that they didn't adjust within the game? Even if they had 1 game plan going in, you have that long halftime. How surprised were you they didn't make the adjustment at any point?
Well, I was very surprised, but that's who the Chiefs are, and it's like we're going to win the way we win. And ultimately, you couldn't do that. I thought Todd Bowles, the defensive coordinator for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, did a great job of disrupting routes, disrupting the timing of the passing game, and then ultimately finding ways to get pressure, changing fronts, changing positions, using stunts, twists, and games to get to Patrick Mahomes. And you know, ultimately, you could see even when Patrick Mahomes had time in a dropback, he didn't have guys open immediately. And I think, you know, again, I look at that going, how do you not run the football when they're begging you to run the football? How do you not run it? You know, we used to have this theory. If they're going to play us in too high, we're going to cram it down their throats until we get them out of that and get our one-on-one matchups on the outside. They just never forced the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to do anything other than they came into the game plan wanting to do. And the end result is, you know, they scored 9 points. I can't believe as a football analyst that that's what happened, but it's exactly what happened.
How would you grade Patrick Mahomes on his day?
Well, I mean, I think ultimately you look at Patrick Mahomes. I mean, I don't look at this like, hey, Patrick Mahomes failed. You know, here in Denver where I live, people are like, oh, okay, now we've tamed the beast. You know, now we know how to beat him. Well, listen, you've got to have a certain style of play to be able to do that, and a certain style of player. And I thought, you know, Lavonte David, I thought when he was asked to play man coverage on Travis Kelce, he was remarkable. He was exceptional. I thought Devin White was incredible, running down guys sideline to sideline, doing what he does. And then I just thought, from my standpoint, It was more about Tampa and the lack of understanding or the lack of willing to adjust by the Kansas City Chiefs. Again, it comes down to football hubris. We're going to win the way we always win. And to me, not taking advantage of what Tampa was asking you to do. They were saying, go on a 10-play drive, average 6 yards a carry, set up a play action, and we'll tip our cap to you because you're going to score if you do that. But they just refused to do that. They just said, no, we're not going to do it. We're going to win the way we win. And ultimately, it cost them a football game.
Mark Schlereth with us, of course, FS1 analyst. So, Stink, on the other side of things, I want to talk about Brady. And sometimes we give the quarterback too much credit, obviously. But also, when you talk to guys on the team, it does seem like, to a man, there was a level of faith, confidence, and inspiration that came from the acquisition of Tom Brady. You won two of your championships with a Mount Rushmore-ish quarterback in John Elway. And even at, you know, he won those the last 2 years of his career when he was not the, as far as if we're doing Madden rating, the Madden rating that Elway was in the late 80s, early 90s. But how much confidence was filtered through the rest of the team just by having that guy back there as your signal caller?
Oh, it's huge. Anytime you have a guy like that, a Mount Rushmore quarterback, as you mentioned, it's one of those situations that regardless of where we find ourselves, we've got a guy that can make a play that will get us into the right play that we have ultimate confidence in, that in those crunch time situations, he's just going to make a play. And from a leadership standpoint, this is a team that knew how talented they were, but just didn't have that piece in place. Where Tom Brady, I mean, Bruce Arians, I'll give Bruce Arians a ton of credit. Tip your cap to him because he understood that I can coach this team and I can say something and they go kind of in one ear and out the other. But Tom Brady can reiterate it. He can say the exact same thing I just said and everybody's like, okay, Tom, whatever it takes. And I thought it was funny early in the season when Bruce Arians cussed out Tom Brady, you know, called him out publicly and everybody's like, oh, that's not going to go well. Yeah. I mean, that's how Tom Brady's been coached his whole life. And if you know Bruce Arians, that's how he coaches everybody. I mean, there's no virgin meat left on your behind after you've been coached by Bruce Arians. He's going to let you know exactly the way it is. And that's authenticity. And guys that understand, they want their coaches to be authentic. I think that's the most important thing. And we see this all the time with new hires, guys that aren't comfortable in their own skin, that try to be somebody that they're not. Bruce Arians, that's the way he coaches. Tom Brady has always allowed himself to be coached hard and in turn is coaching his players with his work ethic, with the way he shows up and the way he brings guys along. So a remarkable, remarkable season for Tampa Bay.
All right, before you go, I got a quick list for you. The three people in America who should feel the worst this morning. Number one is me.
Yes.
Number two is Bill Belichick. Number three is Kyle Shanahan / new Hall of Famer, our friend John Lynch. Belichick, because Brady wanted to stay. I know at the end, Brady puts his house on the market, he wants to leave, but he wanted to stay. He was clear about that, and Belichick said, nope, I think it's near the end of the road. Shanahan and Lynch in that I think it's pretty well reported. Brady's first choice was San Francisco, and they looked and said, you know what? We're going to stick with Jimmy Garoppolo. The younger guy, he just took us to a Super Bowl. We're going to stick with him. What do you think both of those parties, the Niners and Belichick, are feeling and thinking this morning?
Well, I mean, I think ultimately it's you said this while I was waiting to come on. It's remarkable. Like, the guy is not human. And I think you look at that and maybe you say, hey, you know what? I truly underestimated who Tom Brady is and what he's capable of. I tell you, the leadership thing for me is big. I know we constantly talk about leadership and we think we know what it is, but we can't quite put our finger on it. When you elevate the level of everybody on your football team from the standpoint of not only their preparation, but how much they care and how much they're committed to one another and what they're willing to sacrifice for one another, that truly is the essence of leadership. And I will say this about Tom Brady, man. When I watch him and I see him interact with his teammates and the report of him texting guys at 11 o'clock at night saying, we're going to win this thing, going through everybody on the roster, this guy elevates everybody, and he truly celebrates everybody else's success like it was his own. And that's why, ultimately, he's the GOAT. That's why guys will follow him.
Mark Schlereth, great player, extraordinary analyst, amazing father, husband, grandfather, and a terrible friend. Thank you, Sam.
You got it, my friend. Take care.
Goodbye. See you. There is Mark Schlereth. And here is Joy, another bad friend. Here's Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Improve your diet, improve your life with delicious, high-quality meat from ButcherBox. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/herd and get 2 New York strip steaks and pack and 1 pack of bacon free in your first box. That's butcherbox.com/herd. I apologize, I'm not being a better friend, Nick. I feel like I've given you some silver linings to the situation.
No, you haven't, no. And you don't really apologize. It's an insincere apology. You're actually enjoying this more than you should, and I do not accept the apology. What's happening in the news, Joy?
Okay, well, heading into the Super Bowl, Brady and Gronk were tied with Joe Montana and Jerry Rice for the most playoff touchdowns by a quarterback and receiver duo with 12. They quickly broke that tie by connecting for a touchdown in the first quarter and added to their record with another score in the second quarter. So these 2 touchdowns also moved Gronk into second place in touchdown receptions in the Super Bowl with 5 and in the playoffs with 14. He only trails Jerry Rice in both of those categories. Obviously, Gronk is a Hall of Famer, so he didn't need this game to solidify that, but that is a remarkable accomplishment. And I actually believed Gronk when he retired that he was really done. And I think he was. I think that Tom Brady going to Tampa Bay and calling him and getting him down there was the only thing that was going to get him out of retirement. He clearly, his body was tore up. I mean, he talked about how exhausted he was. And I think he also was a little bit exhausted with just the culture of New England. Like, I think he enjoyed, I think he enjoyed playing there and obviously had great success. But I think he was ready to just be his full Gronk self. He's great with his money and has handled his career very well. So I think that Tom Brady was the only thing that was going to get him back into the NFL. And I was genuinely happy for him and Tom Brady in that moment because they're the greatest to do that. Like, that's a remarkable accomplishment. And obviously, you know, the dynasty in New England and the time that they spent there together led to this, but it's a tremendous accomplishment.
Playoffs and Super Bowl notwithstanding, it's the greatest red zone connection in NFL history by a mile. What Brady and Gronk were for the better part of a decade, and then to see Gronk do it again in the Super Bowl with a couple more red zone touchdowns. And here's the other thing, Joy. NFL guys, there's not a great history of guys missing a year, taking a year off, and then returning to form. And I know Gronk's overall numbers weren't vintage Gronk, but Gronk's overall numbers in his last full season in 2018 weren't vintage Gronk either. The fact that he was able to perform the way he did in the Super Bowl after the year off, and we've seen, unfortunately, Le'Veon Bell's career go a different direction. I know Marshawn stepped away. He was productive, but still not the same guy. It's really impressive. And I wonder if he can hold on long enough to where he and Brady can be the same Hall of Fame class. Because at this point, you got to assume Brady's playing more than one more year. I don't know if Gronk will or not. They're both first ballot guys. It'd be cool if they could go in together. I recommend they both retire today. That's my recommendation.
That's your recommendation. Gronk will be on Speak for Yourself at 4 p.m. Eastern today. So Aaron Rodgers was named the NFL's most valuable player this weekend and joined some elite company with that win. He became just the 6th player to be named the league MVP 3 times in his career. The only other players to hit that milestone are Peyton Manning, Jim Brown, Johnny Unitas, Tom Brady, and Brett Favre. In 2020, Rodgers set personal best as well as franchise records with 48 touchdown passes and a 70.7 completion percentage. He threw only 5 interceptions and posted his 9th career 4,000-yard passing season. I am frustrated for Aaron Rodgers. I thought that they were going to win that game and be representing the NFC in the Super Bowl. I'm frustrated for Aaron Rodgers because I, from the very beginning, hated that Jordan Love pick from the moment it happened. And it's nothing against Jordan Love whatsoever, but that's not what the Green Bay Packers needed. And I actually have no problem with the way that Aaron Rodgers has handled things since the season ended, because you can't blame it on Aaron Rodgers. He's the league MVP, obviously. And it's not that they need a dramatic overhaul, but they just need to be more aggressive. Aggressive wins in sports these days. It's an aggressive move for Tom Brady to leave New England and that dynasty and Bill Belichick and go to Tampa Bay that does not have a history of winning. Bruce Arians is not a Super Bowl winning coach, at least not at the head coach position. It was an aggressive move, and it paid off. The Rams obviously didn't win a Super Bowl, but were extremely aggressive, got to a Super Bowl. Aggressive wins, and they refused to do that.
Well, and the only part that you said that I would slightly disagree with is when you said how he's handled this offseason. I think that press conference right after the NFC Championship game, he lit a match, and then the next day is like, where'd this fire come from? What's going on here? There's all this smoke. Like, no one in that moment was talking about Rodgers' future. Right. They were before the year, but then because he won league MVP, because things seemed to be going well, they weren't talking about it, and he kind of relit that storyline. But I don't blame him for being a little bitter that he sees the other teams in the NFC have more of a sense of urgency than the Packers have shown with, you know, the final years of his prime. So I understand his frustration.
So the Eagles are reportedly expected to part ways with Carson Wentz soon. A trade could happen as early as this week. The Colts and the Bears have reportedly shown interest in acquiring Wentz, although other teams have called to see what it would take to make that trade. The Eagles are said to be looking for a Matthew Stafford-like deal. The Lions got Jared Goff, 2 first-round picks, and a third-rounder from the Rams in exchange for Stafford. I don't know what the Bears or the Colts could necessarily give the Eagles as far as, you know, if you're going to do a Matthew Stafford-like deal, you would be exchanging a number one overall pick. So, like, what do the Eagles want? Trubisky? Like, that doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. But as far as the picks go, obviously, you do want a good trade for Carson Wentz. But I'm actually glad that this is out there. I don't like the situation in Philadelphia at all. I don't know if Jalen Hurts is a franchise quarterback or not. I like what I saw from him so far. But if you're going to keep Jalen Hurts and Carson Wentz there, you're signing up for a disaster of a season. I'm sorry. You have a brand new head coach and you don't have a quarterback. Having 2 quarterbacks means you have no quarterback.
Well, so a couple things. One is I'm excited for all the people who came out, Brett Favre included, and ripped Deshaun Watson for asking out of Houston to rip Carson Wentz because he's asked out of Philly. I'm sure those takes are coming, maybe via Telegram. I just haven't seen them come across the feed yet. That's first of all.
Absolutely.
Second of all, the idea that you could get 1, let alone multiple, first-round picks for Carson Wentz is insanity. Now, I think you can get something for him, even though, because the contract doesn't become as bad once you trade for it. But first of all, Stafford was traded for a 1 and a 3. That other first-round pick was to get you to take on Goff. Like, to be clear here, like, Goff was a toxic asset you had to include a pick, in my opinion, in order to get them to take him. But the idea that Philly could get 2 first-round picks for Carson Wentz is lunacy. Lunacy. There's no chance of that happening whatsoever. I will mark that down. There's 0% that they get 2 first-round picks for Carson Wentz. I'd be surprised if they get 1 first-round pick, but Joy, they cannot get 2. It's impossible.
All I could hear since Carson Wentz has come into this league is how much better he is than Dak Prescott, how impressive he is, what an unbelievable talent he is. And I'm not being sarcastic because I do think that Carson Wentz has that in him because we have seen spurts of that before. But like now all of a sudden he's not worth 2 first-round picks? If you're the Colts and you need a quarterback and Frank Reich who's had success with Carson Wentz, that's not a worthy deal to you?
I think given how he played last year, how he played the majority of the season before, and the fact that he does not seem like he is always the most beloved guy in the locker room, no. I don't think you have to give up 2 first-round picks for him. We'll see. And I was high on Wentz after 2017, but that year now looks like the aberration year. And so, no, I don't. We'll obviously find out. I don't think they're getting two first-round picks for Carson Wentz. I do not think that is likely at all. There is joy with the news.
Well,
coming
that's the
up
news.
Next.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
Coming up next, my apologies, I cut off our wonderful sound people. Mike Vick's going to join us. He'll probably mock me as well. What Tom Brady and LeBron James finally have in common. We will get into that on The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Is there any chance that you might decide to retire after winning a Super Bowl? Will you be back with the Bucks next year?
Hell no, I ain't going anywhere. I'm coming back, try to get two. And then we'll see after that. But no, this football team, I love these guys. And we have a great staff, great team. Hopefully Jason and I can get together and keep most of them and try to repeat.
Super easy guy to root for, Bruce Arians. More on him in just a moment. Real quick, let me remind you, for all your last-minute Valentine's Day needs, head to 1-800-FLOWERS. Right now, get 24 multicolored roses for $34.99 or upgrade to 24 red roses for just $10 more. To order, go to 1-800-FLOWERS.com, click the radio icon, and enter the code HERD. That's 1-800-FLOWERS.com. So, congratulations to Bruce Arians. I think a lot of people know his story. Everything he's overcome and his journey in the NFL. And it's a great story. And he's one of the most respected men in the sport. He also is quickly becoming one of the most important men in the sport. And we'll get back to the game specifically and what I think Tom Brady finally has in common with LeBron James 10 minutes from now. But right now I want to give Bruce Arians his due for how he has filled out his coaching staff, because the NFL clearly, and Roger Goodell admitted as much just this weekend, has a massive problem when it comes to giving non-white folks the opportunity to rise up the coaching ranks to NFL head coach. And Bruce Arians, as a white guy, understands better than just about any NFL coach I've ever seen that if you are in the position of the majority, and there is a consistent, unintentional, and hopefully, of course, it is unintentional, discrimination against the minority, you have a responsibility to use your position of power to elevate very well-deserving folks who otherwise are not getting opportunities to then show the world what they can do. So show me Bruce Arians, coordinators and assistant head coach, and you will see that is a staff that doesn't look like any other staff in the league. Todd Bowles was, in my opinion, the star of yesterday's game. The star was Todd Bowles and his scheme, and I think he will get another head coaching job based in large part on what he did last night. Byron Leftwich was calling the offense that was, after the opening two possessions, up and down the field on the defending Super Bowl champions, including one drive that was 3 inches from adding another touchdown early in the game when they were stopped at the goal line. Keith Armstrong's their special teams coordinator, and Harold Goodwin, the assistant head coach, we read this morning, he was back in the office. I think it was Harold. He was back in the office at 8 a.m. this morning breaking down the film. This is a wildly important thing for people in all fields who look like me to understand that the more opportunities you give folks who don't look like you, the more opportunities they are going to have to rise in the ranks. And by the way, it's not just black men. The Bucks also have 2 full-time women on their coaching staff. Their strength and conditioning coach, MJ, who everyone speaks so highly of, and Lori Locus, the defensive line coach. And with the success of the Bucks, one might argue there is a bit of a market inefficiency when it comes to hiring non-white guys as coaches and coordinators, that you actually can fill out an even more talented and adept staff because these people are being overlooked in other places. So kudos to Bruce Arians for doing his best to try to single-handedly help fix the NFL's hiring problems. Congrats to him on that. What Tom Brady finally has in common with LeBron next.